And then Kennedy said this, "But I don't agree with those who say we should withdraw. That would be a great mistake. I know people don't like Americans to be engaged in this kind of effort. 47 Americans have been killed in combat with the enemy. But this is a very important struggle, even though it is far away." If the Kennedy administration believed that it was Diem that was the problem, that could explain its growing unease about Vietnam in October. Diem seemed beyond Washington's control. Once he was eliminated in a bloody coup approved in Washington, there was much more optimism about the potential outcome in Vietnam. Misplaced optimism, it turned out. Was President Kennedy about to overhaul the CIA? Here the evidence is less clear. He replaced CIA Director Alan Dulles early in his term, but there is little convincing evidence he was contemplating a top-to-bottom shakeup. However, in the fall of 1963, there was a hint of discord between the White House and CIA over policies in Vietnam, where the agency was heavily involved. Many of these disputes allegedly had to do with whether President Diem should remain in power. Many in the CIA viewed Diem as the best hope for a South Vietnamese government that could eventually defeat the communists and oppose Kennedy's determination to replace Diem. New York Times Washington Bureau Chief Arthur Kroc was a close friend of the Kennedy family. His October 3, 1963 column laid bare what he perceived to be a growing rift between the administration and the agency, as he cited a dispatch from Saigon by Scripps Howard correspondent Richard Starnes. He related that, according to a high United States source here, twice the CIA flatly refused to carry out instructions from Ambassador Henry Cabot Lodge, and in one instance frustrated a plan of action Mr. Lodge brought from Washington because the agency disagreed with it, Kroc wrote. Kroc also cited Starnes' interview with a source described as a very high American official who has spent much of his lifetime in the service of democracy. The CIA's growth was likened to a malignancy, in which the very high official was not sure even the White House could control, Kroc wrote. If the United States ever experiences an attempted coup to overthrow the government, it will come from the CIA and not the Pentagon. At a news conference days later, President Kennedy downplayed any feud, saying he had found nothing in the record to indicate the CIA had done anything but support U.S. policy in Vietnam.
"I can just assure you flatly that the CIA has not carried out independent activities, but has operated under close control of the Director of Central Intelligence, operating under with the cooperation of the National Security Council and under my instructions."
Was that actually true? Kennedy could hardly say otherwise publicly, but the perception in Washington in the fall of 1963 was of a CIA whose operatives in the field were increasingly exerting themselves into the policy arena. Of course, the CIA wasn't just operating in Vietnam. It also had a major stake in Cuba. And here it gets interesting. Under pressure from Robert Kennedy, CIA operatives worked with militant Cuban refugees, and it would later be revealed, members of the mafia, to look for creative ways to overthrow Fidel Castro. It can be assumed that vast amounts of money was being funneled into these operations. Then, in October 1962, there was a game changer. The Cuban Missile Crisis brought the U.S. and Soviet Union to the brink of war over Soviet installation of nuclear missiles in Cuba. After 13 tense days, the Soviets agreed to remove the missiles. In return, the U.S. publicly agreed not to invade Cuba. There is some evidence to suggest that, despite the public agreement, the Kennedys still pursued Castro's elimination. On the record, at least, Kennedy had changed U.S. policy toward our island neighbor. The U.S. appeared ready to accept a communist Cuba. Those who adhere to the theory of CIA personnel involvement in Kennedy's assassination point to Lee Harvey Oswald as Exhibit A. Garrison, in particular, contends the agency manipulated Oswald in the months leading up to the assassination, making him appear to be a militant supporter of Fidel Castro so that when manufactured evidence of Oswald's guilt was discovered, Castro would be blamed. Oswald plays a key role in the assassination, no matter what theory you happen to subscribe to. So this is as good a place as any to take a look at this enigmatic young man and try to figure out who and what he was.